So, as I said, we're going to have our reading now, which this week is taken from Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 to 6. So it's a nice short one. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So before Chris brings us his reflection, shall we just pray? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's everlasting. However many times we hear those particular verses, it's always the same, and it always has something new to say to us. And we pray for Chris this morning as he brings some thoughts on your word, and we pray that he will draw out something that perhaps we didn't realize before, so that we can learn something new about you. Amen.
Thanks, Andy. And I'm going to start just by thinking about that passage we had at the beginning of communion again. So I'm just going to read that again. So while they're eating, Jesus took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly, I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So when we break bread and drink wine in communion, we bring ourselves and our story into the overarching narrative of God. We look back over 3,000 years to the deliverance of enslaved Israel from Egypt, to the night when the angel of death passed over Israel. We look back the thousands of years in which the Jews commemorated and celebrated that deliverance over and over again at Passover meal. And we look back 2,000 years to the Last Supper as Jesus revealed the deeper meaning behind the symbols of bread and wine in that meal. We look back to the cross where Jesus' body was broken and his blood poured out for many, fulfilling the symbolism of bread and wine. We look back on our own lives and remember our own brokenness and need for the cleansing power of that blood of Jesus. Then in this moment, we bring our own individual stories of how Jesus has rescued us and our present current concerns or anxieties. We bring ordinary bread, the bread of our culture and time, the product of God's gift and human labor. The ordinary wine, or some substitute of that, and again, the product of God's gift and human labor. And we bring ourselves just as we are today, just where we are on that faith journey. Right now, we're doing this in our own homes, and this emphasizes the way in which our current experiences are brought to this meal as we come together on this Zoom. Not only the big picture, that we're isolated by a pandemic, but the small pictures, which are a snapshot of our different home circumstances. Jesus said he eagerly desired to eat this meal with his disciples before he suffered. And as the disciples and Jesus eat that meal, the disciples didn't understand what was about to happen to Jesus, but Jesus did. He wanted to eat this meal with its history and its prophetic vision at that moment. He wanted to eat it with them, right where they were in their journey with him. And he wants us to eat it with him today. So we've eaten and drunk together, signifying our partnership in each other's stories and our unity in Christ, our acceptance of one another, but more than that, our love for one another. We don't wait until the Spirit's completed the work of sanctification, but we come in the midst of our life with all of our faults and our failures, as well as our gifts and our rejoicing. From here, we lift our eyes above our current circumstances and recognize that this meal is an anticipation of what is yet to come. Jesus told the disciples, "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Jesus looked beyond his imminent death and resurrection, beyond the thousands of times that we would eat and drink this meal in memory of him, to the day when, to which every communion is pointed forward, the wedding supper of the Lamb, the great feast of victory and reconciliation. The Apostle Paul says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We will continue to proclaim the Lord's death when the Lord Jesus is revealed as King, but we'll no longer need symbols of his redeeming presence. We'll have the substance, Jesus' physical presence with us. In science, if you want to get an idea of where a graph is heading, you look back at the historic data. Well, I think we've got pretty used to looking at graphs recently, haven't we? You look back what's been happening in the past to see what might happen in the future. Then you're able to see ahead. We call that extrapolating. I invite you this morning to look back over the mighty works of deliverance of God that he's worked over history. I invite you to consider his saving work in your life and the promises of Jesus about your future with him. Based on these, accept the promise that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. He is at work in and sometimes despite your current situation. By its very nature, this meal reminds us that we're being saved as a community. Whilst we're separated physically at the moment, yet we are still one body with one spirit and one head. The biblical view of paradise began with two people in a garden, but it becomes a mighty city of peoples, a city with God filling every part of it with his light. In Philippians chapter 1 and verses 4 to 6, the Apostle Paul says, "In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So we're called to be partners in the gospel, partners with each other and partners with God. Our confidence is placed not in our abilities nor the perfection of our earthly partners, but in Christ Jesus, who began the good work in us. Today, we're encouraging you to remain with us as we gather in small groups later, to give thanks that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If you'd like personal prayer ministry time, then we'd be able to pray a little deeper. Please contact me and I can arrange that. But today it's just an opportunity to joyfully give thanks for you and your partnership in the gospel. So if you'd like to do that, please stay with us at the close of the service. Thank you. I'll hand back to Andy now.
Yes, I apologise for that. I realised halfway through your talk that I read Philippians 4:4-6 rather than 1:4-6, but I think it worked pretty well.
I think it worked very well, actually, yeah.
Sorry about that. I must have misread something in our emails this week, but anyway.